Welcome to Wings Over Water. My name is Kathy Moser. I am your hostess with the mostest. And I swear to you, I am going to bring you a radio show soon that is not from behind the wheel of my car. I just did an interview this week. I just haven't had time to finish it. But it was not done. It was done indoors, sitting down. But this is not that show. So stay tuned for that show. So I'm getting ready to do my taxes. And I thought, you know, it'd be a great topic, which I feel like we just don't talk about enough in the culture, is money. So the title of this show is called Money Matters. And it's why it matters to your recovery, and it's why it matters to your creativity. It's been huge for me to start to be more responsible and more confident and more clear about money. I don't know, I grew up with a lot of magical thinking around money, a lot of stress around money. And I also have in my adult life, I've had a lot of shame around money, even as a young person, honestly. I definitely remember having an overdue library book and my mom making me go pay for it. I literally had like a sock of nickels and I owed like, I don't know, $13 or something in nickels. So I had to go in with my sock of nickels and pay the librarian. That's like an early money memory. The only positive money memory I have as a kid is that we had some kind of fair and we raised a bunch of money, maybe like $35 or something for the YMCA and donated it. So I don't know if I learned right there that like the best thing for me to do with money is like give it away. I'm not really sure about that, but just those are two early money memories. And so first of all, to talk about money and recovery, I was not financially responsible before I stopped drinking and stopped doing drugs. I didn't open my bills. I owed people money. What was so important for me in early recovery was that I could not stay clean and sober and be financially unmanageable. If I was going to stay clean and sober, I had to learn how to deal with money. The person that was helping me in early recovery not only helped me with my schedule and stuff like that, but she also helped me with my budget. She told me that I should save a little money every week and that I should try to put more money aside for the winter because the winter months are going to be harder. The electric bill is going to be higher. The gas bill is going to be higher. And then the debts that I had, I paid off. There's debts that I paid off $10 at a time. That were like hundreds of dollars. And it seemed impossible to me, but I just did it week by week by week and also saved money. And this is not an area that I am by any means perfect in. I am like a whole heck of a lot better. I got a lot of support. And just to say right out, because a lot of people don't know, there is a program for dealing with money. It's called Debtors Anonymous. You can find them online. They're very active in different areas of the country, and they also have phone meetings. So even if you're not in an area of the country where they are really active, you could still participate and get help. And their whole process is about self-care, abundance, and paying back your creditors, kind of in that order, and having a vision and a dream. And it's kind of funny that I'm doing this show from behind the wheel of my car, because I heard stories about people that changed the way they dealt with money. And I listened to a speaker CD one time and the lady said she bought her car for cash. And I just thought that was impossible. And I'll tell you that I bought my car for cash. Things can totally change and I'm not perfect. It's one area where, although I have a perfect record so far of not drinking or drugging in 17 years, it'll be 18 years next month, I am not perfect around my areas of money. It seems like a lot of times I do really well and then I don't do so well. So what made me think of this was sitting down to do my taxes and noticing, you know, both how much I've progressed and also what else I need to work with, what I need to work on. Things that were hard for me in the beginning that I don't do anymore that I do differently now is I open my bills. Before, I literally would not open my bills. And so that caused a lot of stress and a lot of pressure and a lot of lack of clarity. Well, I actually had a group of people that were all working on this issue and we would open our bills together. I know that might sound kind of pathetic if you're like really normal around money, but for me, it was really super helpful. And I learned to try and keep track of it, even the cents. I love this quote from Benjamin Franklin. It says, small leaks can sink large ships. And also needing to look at what one of my friends calls the rock under the rock. You know, I am fairly bright and I can add and subtract. So obviously my issues with money are not a math problem. It's an emotional problem. And I'm not sure what all is in there. I'm kind of just kind of experiment out loud with you here. I think for many of us, there's a shame aspect of it. And also possibly like a false arrogance on my part, at least, of like looking down at people that are really wealthy. Which is, of course, if you want to be abundant in your life, dissing people who are abundant is not really a great strategy. But I've definitely have had that feeling that maybe if I had a lot of money, then I wasn't a good person. The way I look at it now is that money is energy. And if I'm going to put a lot of energy out, I need to get a lot of energy in. In fact, as I'm doing this for you, I don't know if my voice sounds rough to you, but it definitely sounds rough to me because I just did 5 workshops and 4 concerts in 3 days, which is a little bit insane, but is also a good way to make a lot of money, or at least what's a lot of money for me. The shame aspect of it, I think, makes me want to hide from it, and then that becomes an endless loop. That just, I'm going to hide from it, I'm going to feel ashamed of it, I'm going to hide from it. And one of the reasons I'm feeling good about it today is I just sat down and spent a couple hours of getting my taxes together and engaged with it. You know, and what made it possible for me to start making that kind of shift and engage with it was love and support from other people. And getting outside help and being able to talk to people about the fact that I'm ashamed of the fact that I'm ashamed about money, you know, and that it scares me and that it's puzzling to me. And at one level, I definitely know that money is necessary, important, and good, you know. If all my bills are paid, then I can be of more service in the world because I'm not distracted by the fact that, like, my electricity went off, you know, or I got pulled over and my car wasn't registered or anything like that, or that I'm scrambling to try and get the oil bill paid so that my house doesn't freeze. All of those things prevent me from being of service in the world. This is a way in which it ties back in. And then also the feelings that we have behind being financially unmanageable, I think, are a really big risk to people's sobriety and their sanity. You know, there was a recent death this week of a designer named Loren. And I'm sorry, I don't know her last name. Very beautiful woman, had been extremely successful, was living large, and people loved her work. And she took her own life this week. And they're thinking that probably the reason is that her company was going to go bankrupt. And she couldn't stand the stress of that, and I guess didn't have the ability to ask anyone for help regarding that. And so she took her own life. So, and I don't think that's that uncommon, that there's lots of people who not only lose their sobriety, but also their sanity and their lives, and certainly their quality of life, over the stress of not being able to deal with money. Digging through my iTunes library, I found this AC/DC song called "What Do You Do for Money, Honey?" which I thought would be a refreshing change of pace for those of you listening to the show. So here's AC/DC. "What Do You Do for Money, Honey?"
Free!
Matters. Okay, so money and creativity. First of all, I would like to say that I do not allow anyone in my vicinity to say, of course, they are a starving artist, because there's actually tons and tons of artists that make really abundant livings. There's all kinds of artists throughout history, actually. Michelangelo was a millionaire by his day's standard, so there's tons of artists who are abundant, and I think that's how it should be. You know, as artists, we give out a lot, and I think it's great for our creativity to come from a place of abundance and not from a place of scarcity or exhaustion. So, what are some of the ways that money matters relevant to our recovery? I mean, our creativity, excuse me. I think one way is to charge enough. You know, if you're a working artist, a musician, a painter, whatever, I do not do any free shows, and I do not do any shows where people ask me what I come and that would be like a great networking opportunity for me, unless it genuinely is a great networking opportunity for me. I'm not going to promote someone else's business or go play for tips or anything like that. Because I've played guitar 41 years. I worked really hard. I've spent a lot of money, invested a lot of time to do this. And especially events where they're paying other vendors to be there. For example, if they're paying for someone to do the sound system, or it's an outdoor event and they're paying for the porta potties. I always feel like if you're paying for the porta potties, you got to be paying for the music. That's one thing. And even at events like farmers markets where they want me to come play for free, I'm like, well, why don't you give me $50 of coupons towards produce? Like, I'll do that. If you want to like promote your farmers market by having music there, then get all the vendors to each give a $5 coupon to the musicians. I will not play for free or work for free. That's my personal choice at this point. I mean, I've been doing it a while. There might have been points when I started out that I would do that, but I will not do that anymore. Another part is paying for equipment and having good equipment. You know, there's a lot of times I think about like there's certain things, if they broke like my car or whatever, that I would spend the money, you know, unquestionably. So I know for myself, the recent guitar that I have was the most amount of money I ever paid for a guitar. And I shopped around really thoroughly, but I wasn't just shopping for price. I was shopping for quality. And then once I had that guitar, all of my instruments are insured, which is not very expensive. And in fact, the way I got my most recent guitar is that, or my main working guitar, is that I had dropped my previous guitar in the airport in Denver, and I had it insured, and I took the check from the insurance company and put it in the bank, and then went out and went shopping for the instrument. Also, in terms of like negotiating, when I negotiate for gigs now, I almost always am able to negotiate a hotel room in there, because this is, again, part of the abundance aspect of being a musician or an artist at all, is that I have to have great self-care, something we talk about a lot on this show, good self-care. So being able to negotiate for or figure out how to get that. Like, I also travel. When I travel, I stay with friends a lot in comfortable environments. So that's another way money matters for me as an artist. A lot of artists tend to give away their work for free. And we live in an age now where that is just more common than ever. And I will tell you what, I do not generally give away my work for free, except it as a gift, literally as a gift. If I want to, often if someone, I've stayed with someone, or the someone's been helpful, like someone maybe at a gig helps me carry my equipment out to the car, or the sound person has been above and beyond, I will give my music as a gift. But otherwise, I charge for it. And I do not support the idea that people should give their music away free. You know, I spent thousands and thousands of dollars. I spent probably more than $10,000 on my last record. And I don't give it away for free, you know. Relevant to that, in terms of product and quality, one thing I've definitely learned also is that when I'm making a product or something that I'm going to sell, I'm going and spending the money for the best quality product that I possibly can. For example, my t-shirts are, the t-shirts I have on my merchandise table are 100% organic cotton t-shirts grown in America, sewn in America. And the reason I went and spent that extra money, and I'll just be clear here, I charged $25 for a t-shirt, which I know seems like a lot of money, but it's like the standard markup. I think I'm paying $14 a shirt for them. So I'm marking them up to 25. The thing is, it's great quality, because I noticed like one of the radio stations that I played on, they gave me one of their shirts, and it was this great organic cotton shirt, and it's still a go-to shirt for me. So even though I spent probably twice what I could have spent, I could have gotten a really inexpensive t-shirt. I got the best quality t-shirt that I could afford that also meets my values, because it's organic and local, at least made in the United States. So I know that anyone who buys one of the t-shirts of mine is going to totally have an enjoyable experience, and they're going to wear it a lot. And they're going to be really happy with it, and they're going to be happy with it in a year, and they're going to be happy with it in 2 years. Speaking of pricing and money for artists, just to be make you aware that there are several devices now that make it very simple to take credit card payments off of your electronic mobile device. I don't want to be like a product pusher here, but just to say there's definitely card readers out there available for little or no money, and they take a very small percentage. And again, the reason I take credit cards is because it's like 20% more sales if you're able to take credit cards. I also do, in my merchandise table, I do bundling, where people could buy, they buy one thing, they get a certain price, but if they buy three things, they get a better deal. So being strategic is a great thing for artists to think about. And remembering, again, that money matters because it's energy. So when we're putting so much energy out, we need to get a lot of energy in. And remembering also, I feel that in the amount that I charge for my performance and my merchandise, one of the things that is buying for me is days off. Like I said, I just came off the road. We did 9 shows in 3 days. That makes enough money for me to have a week at home where I am not having to work. I'm getting more work. I'm working on my work. I'm doing things like taking care of marketing and internet stuff and getting more gigs and doing my copyrights and making sure my royalty stuff is all in line. So those are one of the other reasons that I need to charge enough money it's one of the things I need to think about when I'm charging for my work, is that I am also need to be paying myself for rehearsal. I need to be paying myself for my writing time. I need to be paying myself for the times that I'm not out there working. Because the kind of work that we do as artists, generally, we're not working 40 hours a week. I work more than 40 hours a week, but I do not perform 40 hours a week. And I don't think I could actually perform. And even like if you're in a Broadway play, you know, you're still working like 3 hours a night maybe, which is because it takes the entire length of the whole day and that other 22 hours of the period or 21 hours of the 24-hour period for you to be rested and prepared so you can go on stage and do your job. I'd be interested to hear from you about what your thoughts are about money and art and creativity and recovery. So I think I've covered it there. I've covered equipment. I've covered, here's the last thing I want to say, both about recovery and finances, and also about creativity and finances, is this concept of clarity. So one thing I'm doing now is when I come home from a trip, is I do ahead of time, I do a plan for what I think the trip is going to cost me, and then when I come home, I look at all that. So it's everything from like baggage fees on the airlines to it may be a taxi ride to the airport. It's the rental car. It's the gas. It's everything like that. So I have clarity on what those trips really cost me, which helps me to charge effectively and charge enough to make sure that I'm charging enough so that all of those things are covered. Also, this year I have done, of all the trips I've done, I think I did 2 tours by myself. One of the reasons I am charging more is because I am paying other people. And again, I said I thought of this topic because I'm doing my taxes, and I paid over $8,000 to other people this year, which I'm very proud of because those people earned that money, but I paid that money to other artists. And $8,000 is a little bit more than I was able to do last year. So I was able to hire more people, and I'm sure 2014 is already shaping up to, be a bigger year in terms of what I'm paying out to other artists. So again, thinking about this, if abundance and money is energy, one of the things I need to have money for is to pay other people to do some of the things that, either are going to make a better show if I'm bringing in along another musician, or also have someone who helps me in my office 5 hours a week. In terms of money, this is another great thing, is to be able to hire a younger person than you. A lot of times, a younger artist can be hired for, you know, the minimum I've ever paid anyone was $10 an hour. And, I pay more than that now because, this is several years later, but, can be a lot of money for a young person, and to have them have the opportunity to be with another artist, support them, help them get their job done, and take home more money than they were going to get if they were working, you know, at a fast food restaurant or someplace like that. So we need money for equipment. We need money for travel. We need money for days off. We also need a prudent reserve. And this is true in terms of recovery and in terms of creativity, is having a prudent reserve, money in the bank. I know for myself personally, I broke my leg about, 8 or 9 years ago now. And they say that you should have 6 months living expenses in the bank. And I know that sounds possibly out of range. I will tell you that I have not had less than $10,000 in the bank for the last, at least 10 years. And my experience was when I broke my leg, I did not have to work. The accident was covered by my landlord's homeowner's insurance because I was working on his house when I fell, but I didn't have any income replacement. And so I had enough money to not have to work for 6 months. As it happens, I did work. I did continue to work. I actually hired someone to drive me so that I could work because I broke my right leg and I couldn't drive. But there was a peace of mind that came from knowing that I did have that money in the bank. And that money, again, I mean, every time I get like a gift of money, if like sometimes on a birthday or holiday, I might receive a gift of money, put that in my savings account. I've sent checks as small as $10 to my savings account, and just starting to build that up, it's just like building up days of recovery. You know, you have like one or two or three days clean. It's totally better than having no days clean, and $10 or $20 or $30 in savings is completely better. And I also feel it's the same in terms of reinforcing it. The more you save, the more you want to save. In some of the same ways, like the longer we stay clean, the more we may want to stay clean and sober. So those are ways that those are ways in which it's helpful. And also the thing about the prudent reserve is that there will be emergencies. There will be unexpected things happen. There will be, you know, car repair. There will be things that happen, and you know, you want to be able to continue to move forward, and you want to be able to continue to progress. And the other thing about the prudent reserve is that a lot of the work that I do as an artist, I do not get paid for right away, which is something I'm working on more and more getting comfortable with. I used to teach guitar, and I got paid basically every single day. And so now that I'm doing work for more large organizations and I'm not teaching, I am getting paid sometimes 30, 60, or 90 days out. So I need to have a prudent reserve so that if I have expenses that are coming up and those checks have not come in yet, that I am not dead in the water and I am not going into debt. Because debt is dangerous. It's dangerous for our recovery and it's dangerous for our creativity. Again, if creativity is energy and money is energy, we want to be sure that we have enough coming in, because we know as artists we are putting so much out. So, okay, well, that was a nice little trip in the Honda Fit. I am started this thing pulling out of my street. I am going to finish it pulling back onto my street. You have been listening to Wings Over Water, Creativity in Recovery with me, Kathy Moser, your hostess with the Moses, reminding you that there are shows on City of Angels Recovery Radio every single day of the week, more all the time. If you like what you're hearing, hey, do us a favor, tell a friend about it. If you have thoughts and ideas about what you want to hear us cover on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Please, you can send me an email, go to my website, kathymoser.com, click on Contact Me, and let me know what kind of show I could be covering for you, what kind of topics, what kind of guests, what kind of songs you would like to hear, and have a great, abundant week in your recovery and your creativity. Be well.